Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 24th, 2015. You're listening to the best poker cast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
The Globetrotter.
Yeah, it's like about 3 a.m. out here, I think. Something like that.
Can you be calling yourself a Globetrotter when you're spending most of the time on the water? I don't... like the Globe Sailor, maybe? I don't know. With Midshipman? I don't know what to call you.
Midshipman, I like it.
Yeah. But you're just back from the cruise and you're on the road again.
Got back from the cruise, went to Daytona for that great charity event. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. We'll talk about the cruise in a little bit in a minute. Home for 2 days, make sure my wife still didn't hate me as much as I thought she did. Did some laundry, and now I'm out in California.
Yeah, you know how dedicated Scott is? It's like 6 a.m. there, and he's doing the show. It's not really 6 a.m., but it must feel like it to him. He's on the West Coast. It's very early where I am, so I can only imagine. He probably stayed straight up, huh? He didn't even go to sleep.
No, I was very jet lagged yesterday, so I had we had a great I'm here for the two pair poker tour today, and then before I head off to our great Ante Up poker tour event over in Petaluma in a couple days. But they're having a Heads Up Championship, and I'm like, I got to get out there and do that and see our good friends here at Thunder Valley. We're going to host our Ante Up World Championship later this year,
right?
And so they had a really great draw party last night. If you're registered before 6:30, you get to come to the draw party. They gave you free drinks and food from the steakhouse. And Lon McCarron drew the balls out of the little bag, and they put you up on the big board. And it was a lot of fun. The funny thing about it is I was telling Lon, I'm like, hey, Lon, I was just hanging out with Norm and Chad on Sunday on the other coast. I've actually never hung out with both of you at the same time, so I think you might be the same person.
That's hilarious. Same person, like Janet and Michael Jackson.
Exactly, right? Has anybody ever seen them together except on TV with the magic of TV?
And they got that little mirror in between, so it's just reflecting him the other way. That's an easy trick they do. The mustache is hard to pull off with that special effects. So how's it going out there? What's going on?
Oh, it's good. It's good. Like I said, I always enjoy coming out Thunder Valley. This is the first time for this two-pair Poker Tour championship. They've done a bunch of events elsewhere, but this is a big event, and looking forward to playing the Heads Up here in a couple hours, so I had to be up anyhow. And then if I get knocked out, I'll play the Chinese event, but I'm hoping not to get knocked out. But the over-under on this thing, a little money being wagered, friendly, of course, because you can't do that in a casino, but it starts at 11 a.m. Pacific. The line has been set at ending at 8 a.m. 21-hour tournament. That's the line.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
So, yeah, I might be a little tired here. But really, my whole trip out here is Sunday. Our great North Bay Poker Open at the 101 Casino in Petaluma, just north of San Francisco, kicks off. And I'll be headed over there that day, so come out and say hi. I'll be there Sunday through Wednesday, but then the main event starts Friday and runs through Sunday. And if you win that, obviously you get a picture on our magazine, which has a new, nice, very thick cover, right?
So it's beautiful.
Much more of a keepsake now if you win. So
hey, it's always been a keepsake.
I said a lot more of a keepsake.
All right. More of a keepsake. I don't know how that's even possible.
And, of course, I've been out of town, so I was busy catching up on laundry, like I said. And we got a bunch of stuff to catch up on the show, so much that we can't fit in this show. So, yeah, we know about this poker pro that's owning Jeopardy. We also know the other one that's owning the Feds. And we'll catch up on all that next week, plus results from this Heads Up event and stuff from the 101. But let's catch up on all the other fun stuff that I did that Chris didn't get to do.
I'm going to go to the bathroom and get a sandwich. Take a little nap. I'll be back when you're getting ready to finish the stories. Let me know.
You know, here I got to say, we've been doing this show for almost 10 years now, right?
Yep.
and you use the same line every time.
I don't think I used the bathroom last time.
So this is going to be your 10-year resolution to the Antiup Nation, Chris. Next time a whole show is dedicated to me and my awesomeness, you need to come up with a better line and go make a sandwich.
I usually take a nap is what I do. I don't remember ever including the toilet and the sandwich at the same time. I don't know. It's not easy to do.
I'm not sure I want you to include a toilet and a sandwich.
I know. That's what I'm saying. All right, well, I'll do that resolution if you promise to say, "Oh, stop saying aw shucks when people give us good news about us."
Aw shucks. Okay, well, of course, I was just on the great eight-night cruise that we had from Baltimore, the Antiup Poker Cruise. Had a lot of fun folks on there. Real raucous crowd this time. It was real nice, including Horseshoe Baltimore Poker Room manager Anthony Chester. He brought a fistful of players and stuff, and we just had a great time. So, of course, as usual, we have stories. And, Chris, I know you like to go on the quick local ones in Florida. You don't – you're a little scared of planes, I know, and don't want to come on these longer ones. So, but you – and usually sometimes we'll sit around and mock you, you know, or there – you know, we'll order milk for no reason in the dining room. And but this cruise, Chris, I am actually super glad you did not come on because you would have been miserable, absolutely miserable with where the conference center was on this ship.
Where was it?
Now, this is the Grandeur of the Seas, our second cruise ever, way back in 2010, when we had TJ Cloutier as our guest pro, right? Remember
right.
that one?
Yep.
The conference center was really nice. It was on that like little corridor there. You had like two rooms, and we had a wall. We can unwall it, right?
Yep.
Well, all these cruise ships now are obviously redoing their ships and adding specialty restaurants, which I appreciate. So the victim always is the conference center. So this time, this ship now has three conference centers scattered throughout the cruise ship, which obviously does not make it conducive for a poker room, right?
All right.
But we were able to fit everybody in one, the largest one, which was inside the South Pacific Lounge.
No.
Yes.
Oh, man. Was it loud all week?
And a couple days before we got on the cruise, I did a conference call with the crew staff, and I'm like, so there's another way to get into the conference center rather than walking through the South Pacific Lounge, right? And then you just said, no. Got to walk through the lounge. I'm like, wow.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So then we have our choice of either shutting the door to the conference center and making it look to our players like we're not in there. That's bad for business, right?
Right.
Or leaving it open and enjoying the full glory of three sessions of bingo every day, two sessions of karaoke, and various other things, including port talks and art auctions and things like that.
Oh, man. Did you go to one of the other conference centers instead?
No, we couldn't fit in any other one, so we were stuck there. So now, you know, at the beginning of it, like, wow, this is really going to be frustrating. And towards the end, though, on the second to last night, we were cheering for the karaoke. It was superstar karaoke, so they're voting for it. And really unfortunate, this really a brave kid with Down syndrome was singing the entire week, and it was awesome. And he was the crowd favorite the last night, and he lost. And the next day, one of our passengers was so upset about it, he went to the gift shop and bought him a bunch of stuff.
Wow.
And gave it to him, told him it was from Antiup, and he came in with his dad and thanked us. It was a real touching moment. But wow. So we got to experience stuff while playing poker that we don't normally get to do. I'm not sure I want to repeat that. But it definitely made for some storage. So, but we had a ton of fun in the poker room, too. Even got a 2-5 cash game going last night, which we don't normally do. But played a lot of 1-3 and a ton of tournaments. We actually had a lot of fun with tournaments this time. And I think we did an all-in-or-full tournament once before. But we actually did, I think, 3 or 4 of them on this cruise. And people really liked them. You know, our experienced players thought it was fun to take a shot at trying to figure out the strategy in an all-in-or-fold. And a lot of our newer players, people that haven't played, came in because, you know, hey, all-in-or-fold, your only decisions are all-in-or-fold. So you don't have to figure out how much to bet. You don't have to figure out post-flop play. You know, it's all-in-or-fold. So it's a really good tournament for our beginners, which we found, and people were lining up to come in and do that, and that was a lot of fun. And, of course, you get some funny comments. You know, the first hand of the first one, woman with pocket aces went all in and got frustrated there, refolded, and, you know, of course, we're like, you know, why you had to bet so much? Took a while to figure that out. All right, and if that wasn't much as much fun as we thought it would be, which it was, actually, we fell to a new low, some might say. I say we rose to a new high. Okay. So I know you don't get off in port with us often, Chris, but have you heard the stories of us playing this game called Left, Right, Center?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Pretty legendary in Cosmo. We usually get a big group of players playing this thing. And it's a silly little dice game. You can get it at Walgreens for like $5. And it has three dice and has an L, an R, a C, and a dot on it. And you start with three chips or dollars as we play it in front of you. And you roll these dice. And if you get an L, you pass the dollar or the chip to the person to your left. If you get an R, to the right. C, you put it in the middle of the pot and it's dead now. And a dot, it's like a duo or a pass, right?
Right.
And you keep rolling these dice, it goes clockwise around until all the chips are in the middle except for one, and that person wins, right?
Right.
Well, fun way to pass time in port. And so one of our dealers this time, our first port stop was lovely Port Canaveral, Florida. And I totally forgot to bring the game off the ship, and she was like, oh, I really want to play it. So she's talking it up to some other people that can hear, and they're like, that sounds like fun, right? So we're like, you know what? Everybody come at 7:30 tonight after dinner. We're going to do a left, right, center tournament.
Oh, man.
And they came in and hooked line and sinker. By the end of the week, we had run probably six of these things, and we had people lined up too deep around the table like it's a craps table, getting their chips in there for this little left, right, center tournament.
So we're going to be Andy up left, right, center tours.
We respond to all interest groups. But no, seriously, it's that and the All In Fold, and of course our $20 tournament, which we do the second day always, and our classes, trying to do what we can to get the spouses or the guests, the significant others that don't play poker, to come in the room a little bit and check it out and have some fun.
Right.
And of course, you know, allow their significant others to play poker less guilt-free. So yeah, I think we're onto something here, but we had a lot of fun with that. So and, of course, you know, Port Canaveral was a boring port. I don't even know why we port there. But and we've been to Nassau and Coco Cay forever, so we weren't too excited about that. But Key West, we always have a good time in. And this time, we were the first off the ship because I wanted to get over because I've never done this every time I went down there. It's what's called the Little White House. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Yeah.
But this is where Harry Truman went to recuperate on doctor's orders when he was president. And they have a VIP suite there. So the presidents still come down and stay there from time to time. You know, so Harry Truman is probably our biggest poker-playing president of all time, right?
Right.
And he was actually even, I believe, playing poker when he found out that Roosevelt died. That's how into the game he is, right? So he has this poker table they built, and it's in the corner there, and I've always seen it in pictures and wanted to see it. And it's the actual poker table. The actual poker chips are still on the table from back then. It was really cool. And because the president still comes to stay there, the Secret Service doesn't let you take photos of it. So I couldn't even get a photo of it. I had to buy a postcard. But it was really cool just to sit there and think about him and, you know, Navy guys and whoever else is hanging around this, because it's on a Navy base at the time. Just playing cards right there, right?
Right.
On a poker cruise. And then, of course, in the gift shop, I bought the little Buck Stops Here nameplate. I don't know if you've ever seen that. He always had that on his desk in the White House.
Yeah.
And little known fact, people didn't know the buck actually is the dealer button.
Yeah.
So when you pass it, back in the old days, you could pass the deal if you didn't win a deal. So you were passing the buck. And Harry Truman never passed the buck. So he always dealt. He had to deal with the issues as president.
He loved the power. He had power position. Absolutely.
So yeah, I got that. So that was a fun little port stop there. And then probably the best story, I don't think it's ever happened. If it has, I don't remember, and I can't believe I would forget or people didn't tell us. But this is the first cruise. This is our 20th cruise, I believe, right?
Right.
First time we ever had two of our passengers get engaged while on the sea, or while on the ship.
Wow.
Yeah, they got off in Coco Cay, the private island, and did the whole kneel down on one knee and give the ring. Of course, she said yes, and it was cute. And we got a picture of it now. We're going to be in the next magazine. And the funny thing is like we all knew it was going to happen. All these people didn't even know these people before we got on. Word was spreading that fast over a couple of days, and the people were like, hey, whoa, wait, let's keep it down a little bit.
Yeah,
let's not ruin the surprise.
I think he was telling Jeannie, too, when he was calling and booking and stuff. He's saying, this is going to be really special. I'm asking my girlfriend to marry me, and they're trying to figure out the best suite for him or the best location or something. So that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations to Jason and Kelly. And Jason had a great cruise. He's the brother of one of our other passengers, a phenomenal player, John Stockton. And but Jason never plays very much at all.
Uh-huh.
But he played the main event and won it, of course.
Oh, wow.
So not only did he get engaged, he won the main event on our cruise. So see, stuff happens when you come on Annie Up Cruises.
Good stuff happens.
Absolutely. So go to AnnieUpCruises.com and join us on all the great cruises we have next year. All right, one more thing. I was at the Deep Stack Charity Classic this week, and then I'll shut up and let you start talking for the rest of the show.
Yes.
But as always, it was a monster success. You know, I feel like kind of a broken record talking about how awesome this event is and how cool it is to go there and seeing scores and scores of old friends, including Jake, who was just on our last cruise, was there and talked to him for a while. He was at the same table as Drew Cohen. Remember him? He was on a cruise, too. He came all the way down from Maryland.
Yeah.
And actually, a good story about him. His dad lives in town. They both played, and they both finished in the 30s out of 656 players. So,
man.
Good day for that family. And then another listener, and I feel terrible. I'm drawing a blank on who it is, but love the guy. I see him every time I'm out there. He actually gave me a Short Stack Ninja shirt. Had it all made up, a little pocket in the front with a little logo with a $100 chip and a ninja, and in the back had a big the same logo in the back. Absolutely love it. I got it displayed in my office now, so I see it every day. Really, really cool. And again, you know, we talk about this every year at the Deep Stack, but it just reminds us of the kind of relationship we have with our listeners. Some of these people we never see, or we see them once a year at this event or a cruise or something like that. And really kind of touching, actually, that that people take to the show and these funny things that we say and go to lengths like make T-shirts for us.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so a couple things about that. I felt bad for you because I know you go every other year or something like that and didn't make it this year. And I know Jennifer Harmon's your girl. And there was another actually a lot of pros here. Phil Hellmuth was there. Kara Scott was part of the group. Norman Chad was back, of course, as I mentioned. Another female poker pro had been booked for it. She canceled late. And I just didn't think they were going to replace her. And guess what? I get off the cruise ship and I find out Jennifer Harmon's booked. Coming
there.
Did
you talk
to her? She was there. Actually, I didn't get a chance to. I actually didn't see her for a while because I was busy, you know, getting T-shirts and talking to other people.
Right.
But she did a little speech at the front. And of course, she's very charitable, obviously, right? She runs all those animal charity tournaments out west and stuff. So. And the organizers told me that she was phenomenal to work with. So it was really good to see her actually there. But and then she got knocked out pretty early, so I didn't see her. But, of course, Phil Hellmuth was the host and was on the mic the entire time. And so, they do all these giveaways and raffles and things, right? But the one thing they always do is they have the first royal flush during the tournament wins a Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like $3,000 Rolex or something.
Right.
It always seems to hit like almost right away because you've got like 656 people playing poker, right? Somebody's going to hit a royal at some point. That didn't hit until we were down to like 40 people left.
Jeez.
Getting late in the night, and then you have to stop the tournament so they can, you know, look at the eye in the sky and make sure everything was done right. So it's the last thing you want at that point. But they added something new this year. I think it was new this year. If you flopped, and you had to flop it, flop a royal and diamonds, you won I think it was like a $40,000, $50,000 luxury Kia car and with a big fistful of cash in the back. So a total of $100,000, right?
Oh,
most of it in cash and then this great car that they had on display. And it was literally in the first hour a woman did that.
The first hour of the tournament, a woman flops a royal and diamonds and wins $100,000.
Exactly. Can you imagine?
Oh, no way.
And then, of course, everybody's on the phones trying to figure out the odds. And I heard so many different numbers. I don't know actually what the actual one is. But we think it was something like 3 million to 1 or something like that. Might even be more because you actually had to flop it. But, oh, my God, you've never seen anybody happier in your life. And just in tears the entire time. Of course, they had to stop. They didn't stop the tournament, but they stopped that table and did all the verification, and not bad for a $225 charity tournament to walk out with $100,000.
Oh, wow, that's unreal.
And then she ran really deep, too. I don't think she ended up cashing, but I think she ran really deep. She was there closer to the end than I was. So really good tournament for her. That's amazing, though. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, the charity hates that. And I'm like, no, the charity loves that because they buy insurance for this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they want this to happen because it's a great publicity for them. They're paying the insurance whether it hits or not. So, and that's what one of the organizers says. For 7 years, I've been paying that insurance company. Finally, I get something out of it. All right, so I finished 29th out of 656. Nice run, and where I got my chips was right after dinner break. This guy who apparently was second in chips at the tournament at that point, missed out on tournament entry for not being number one chips, took me two hands, knocked him out, Chris.
Two hands? Back-to-back hands? Or
back-to-back hands. So for being second in chips in the entire tournament with still like 300-400 people left, to out.
Oh, man. That guy must have been ripping.
Oh, man. Yeah, he looked very disappointed when he left. And I kind of felt bad. It's a charity tournament, and, you know, you're going to knock people out, right? But that's a brutal way to go. To go from penthouse to outhouse in two hands.
Man.
And he was the type of player that was, like, very, very aggressive, right? And was in every pot. And so a couple of us were sitting there and we were talking. We're like, we knew eventually if we got the right hand against him, we were going to get the chips, right? And I had one hand where I ended up with a boat and tried to induce him to bet it, bluff at me, and he didn't, of course. And then, but I got a good number of chips off him in there. And then I got him to go all in on a gut shot on the next hand, and wow. He didn't hit.
Wow.
So that put me, gave me a lot of chips and held on to him and finished 29th. So that was kind of cool. But as usual, I'm not there necessarily to see how well I do in the poker tournament, but to see how well I do in what I call the raffle tournament.
You got 100% cash in that, I think.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm legendary there, too. So, of course, I won again. And Laura was there, too, so she was all excited. We won a four-night stay at a cabin up in North Carolina. Really looking forward to that. It was really cool. She won an iPad, but that was the second thing we won. So we won that. That was great. But, you know, all of our listeners there knew that we talk about this. And as we're walking up, they're like, yeah, the streak continues. So yeah, absolutely. But great event. Did a lot of good for a lot of good charities. So hopefully see everybody there for next year's event in April and May. And then again, they do the Holiday Charity Classic, a slightly smaller version, but all the bells and whistles, November or December. So check that out.
And just to let you know, Scott actually offered to give me half of the raffle win, but I told him I didn't want to spoon with him in the Smoky Mountains, so that didn't happen. All right, any updates? Here we go. Don't forget, the tournament on RaiderPoker.net is Sunday. That's April 26th, where the top 20% of the field will win a cruise package for our November 7th sailing out of Tampa. Subscription poker is permitted in 35 states and the District of Columbia, and players are given a set amount of Raiders to play with their for their $16.95 monthly subscription fee. Also, join the Ante Up Nation online every Sunday night at 8 Eastern Time at AdvancedPokerTraining.com for our co-branded series. Just create a free account to be able to play. And don't forget, Papes, our free online fan series, holds events on all dates ending with a 6. So next events are April 26th, May 6th, May 16th, and May 26th. Details on both can be found in the Ante Up Nation events group discussion on PokerRadius.com. Each week we spotlight a listener who calls our hotline at 206-338-6344 or emails us at podcast@anteupmagazine.com. And if they haven't won something from us in the past year, just like we do with Call the Floor and Hand of the Week, we send him something cool. This comes from Ben in Oregon. He called in and says he wants to talk about freeze-outs. So let's see what he has to say.
I was wondering what your opinions of add-ons at midpoint breaks in no-limit hold'em tournaments are. My favorite local poker house does pretty consistent $30 buy-ins, unlimited rebuys to the halfway point with a $30 add-on for an additional $60,000 in chips, and the poker tournaments usually start with 100,000 in chips. It's sort of a deep stack thing. But my opinion is I would prefer a large buy-in freeze out with no add-ons. You know what you're playing for. Everyone's on an even playing field from the beginning, even if you get knocked out in the first round, versus good players making it deeper into the tournament and then essentially having to double what they put in to continue on through the tournament or be at a disadvantage to people with deeper pockets.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things where you just have to be able to adjust to the different events, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, one of the things that it is weird when you're playing in a tournament and then the 1 hour break comes or whatever and they're like, okay, add-ons. And I'm like, yeah. What? Now I got to pay more money, and if I don't pay more money, someone else is going to pay more money, and all that hard work I just did for the last hour is going to be equalized because that guy happened to have more money than me. You know, when you don't know there's add-ons or something, then it's kind of – if you know it is and you go in and whatever, that's fine. And it depends on what the add-on's going to. If it's a dealer add-on and you're getting them a tip, that's cool. Do it in the beginning, you know. If it's later on and that money's just going to the prize pool only and they're not raking it, That's cool, too, because you're playing for more money now, same amount of players, so it makes it a bigger buy-in. But I know what he's saying. Let's just have it a big-ass buy-in and be done with it. And that way, when you get knocked out, there's no rebuys. When you struggle, there's no add-ons. You're just playing with your own ability with those cards and those situations, and I'll have none of this other stuff. So I agree with him there. I know what he's saying. Hey, you know, when you enter, like, other kind of tournaments, like, I don't know, bowling or tennis, you don't get to, all right, in the fifth frame, here, pay $10 more tonight, and we'll give you 50 more pins. You know, that doesn't happen. So I can see what he's saying. So
I'd have a 300 ring then if I could do that.
You'd have to add on 6 times, buddy. That's all you get.
Yeah, I will say that this is why the World Series of Poker main event is always going to be the most special tournament, right?
Yeah.
Because it is the biggest freeze-out tournament ever. You can't re-enter. You can't do anything. It's $10,000. You take a shot. If you get a cold deck for the first 10, you got to wait a whole year to come back and play again. So there are freeze-out tournaments out there that you can find, and it does add excitement to it. I think the reason you're seeing all these other type of tournaments, obviously with charities, you have to do it that way because they're trying to raise money for charity. But I think even non-charity events have gone, you know, either rebuys or re-entries or add-ons or things like that to build that prize pool up, because unfortunately that's what people are trying. It was a big prize pool. And you know, freeze-outs are kind of harder to find now, so but seek them out if you want. If not, then I think you're just going to have to find a way to adjust to the these add-ons and what it means to you, and you don't always have to add on to these either. It just depends on where your chip stack is. So
yeah, I agree. All right, find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or home game and you're not sure what the proper ruling should have been. Email us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com and we'll have Antiup Poker Tour Director Sam Minutello tell you how he would have ruled. This week's sponsor is PokerRadius.com, poker's newest social networking site and home of the Antiup group discussions. Comes from Daniel Lee. He says, at a local tribal casino, we're in a cash game, and I bet on the river, and one player calls. I show my ace high. My opponent sees my hand and throws his cards face down across the betting line. He then picks them up and turns them over and says it's a chop pot. The dealer said it's not a muck because he flipped them over immediately. The floor agreed with the dealer. I asked the floor whether I'm allowed to muck to get a read on a player as long as I flip them over before the dealer takes my cards, and he didn't say anything. What should the proper ruling have been?
It seems like just last week we talked about this
betting line
yeah, right?
Yeah.
And this mucking line, this magical creature also known as a unicorn. Again, no such thing. So, yeah, so this guy, his hand was live. He threw it down. It didn't touch the muck, and he had a chance to turn it over. So the ruling was right. But I guess what Daniel was talking about is, you know, he kind of sees this as an angle shoot, right? Yeah. Is that what I'm reading here?
He wonders if it could be an angle shooter and he can use it himself.
Right. If I just throw my cards down and wait for somebody to show me his hand and then boom. I mean, I guess technically, sure, I guess, right? But
I mean, the way it happened in his situation here, it wasn't, because we showed our card first, then the guy mucked and turned it over. He's not angle shooting for anything. So
right, yeah.
But the way he wants to use it, yeah, it could be an angle shoot.
I guess, right? But yeah. I mean, then you're not even talking about bets at that point, right?
So, right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess really the only angle shoot I could see if you're done and both checked at the end is to misrepresent your hand, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a real stretch to think that if you muck your cards, you're going to get any information from that guy who already showed his hand and be relieved. I mean, it's just weird. And if you're doing it before he's showing his hand, you know, then it's like, okay, you're going to get a read that he's relieved that you folded, or that
he's
pissed
off. That's what I'm
saying.
What do you have to do at that point? You have to, like, oh, I just have two pair and throw them, fold, you know, two down or face down, and then have the guy go, oh, man, and muck his hand because he has one pair, and then go, aha!
I know, exactly. It's kind of tough to get that angle shoot to work in your favor.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you're going to be in the angle shoot business, you might want to start a little smaller than this one. It seems a little too complicated for me.
Hey, we get to
friends, tell your friends there's no such thing as a mucking line.
Or listen to our show, damn it. Actually, listen to what we're saying. We got a complete O'Malley's move today. Here comes part one.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week, we're seated at a $2, $5 No Limit Hold'em home game. It's a fairly friendly game, but the players are good and take the game seriously. We are at a nine-handed table, early in the night, and have 500 in front of us. The blinds post, the MP calls, and we're in the hijack with the King of Hearts, Queen of Spades. This is a pretty decent hand for this table, so we decide to make a raise. The standard is 4x, but since there's a limper, we make it $25 to go. The button calls, but everyone else folds. There is roughly $60 in the pot, and the flop comes down the king of diamonds, 8 of clubs, deuce of clubs. Our opponent started the hand with a nearly identical stack to ours, maybe 10 or 20 more. He's a very good player, but has trouble folding a draw when he's priced out. He also likes to set traps when he has a monster. We were the preflop aggressor, so we make a continuation value bet. I'm pretty sure our king is good. We make it $40 to go, and our opponent calls quickly. With 140 in the pot, the turn is the harmless deuce of diamonds. Once again, I think our hand is good here. We make a bet of 100. This time, our opponent thinks for a while, counts out a call, thinks some more, and then throws it in the middle. Draw? With roughly 340 in the pot, the river is the 4 of hearts. So, are we betting again? What's the move?
Okay, seems to me our options are to continue the pressure or check call. I think the quick call on the flop, followed by the much slower call on the turn, means he could be on a busted flush draw. If I'm right, he's not calling, only folding or shoving, which actually brings up an interesting point about how much we should bet, but I'm going to say half the pot. But I can imagine someone would say with that line of thinking that that we could check or we could shove ourselves and probably still get a good result.
Yeah, I think I'd bet about half. I think a check will only allow him to take control and put us to the decision. There's so much out there, you know, in the pot. And if we felt we were good all this time, how did a blank on the river change that? So let's bet.
Cool.
All right, here we go.
Hello again. We could check to control the size of the pot, but I've got a feeling if we do that, our opponent is going to read weakness and put us to a big decision. He's not afraid to bluff in the least. There's 335 in the pot, and we have about 330 left in our stack. I think a bet is in order here. I think we have the best hand, and if not, we probably can get him to fold a better hand if he believes we're stronger than we are. But we also want to make it seem like we want him to call. We settle on 150. I think this is a good amount. It's just slightly less than half the pot, so it could come off as a value bet, but it's also a big enough amount to get a fold. None of our grand plans end up playing out how we envisioned them, however, and our opponent shoves over the top of us. It's our remaining 180 if we want to call. We've put 320 in the pot, and we only need to call another 180 to win 635. I guess this is one of those times where the price is just too good. We could have him beat. We call and hope for a busted draw, which is exactly what our opponent turns over. The ace of clubs, six of clubs. We turn over our king-queen and take a very nice pot. Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying, when plan A doesn't pan out, make sure you have a plan B. I hope to see you on the felt.
Wow, I called it! Does victory lap, drops Mike! No, seriously, that was pretty awesome. I actually usually don't call it correctly like that, but it just seemed like, you know, again, that quick bet and then the thought after that, you know, what makes you do that? I mean, there are a couple other scenarios, but generally speaking, it's usually the flush draw, right? And he didn't get there, so boom. I might be good at this game after all.
Scott good at this game? Let's re-examine this for a second. You said the opponent would fold or shove. You were right that he shoved. But we called after the shove. Would Scott have called that shove after that? Because the shove makes you think he made the flush draw and you're beat. But our good friend O'Malley called. Would Scott have called? That's the question.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know, will we?
We won't know, but that's the problem. Is we don't know if you're good or not either then.
I didn't say I was good at poker.
Oh, you're good at O'Malley's move.
I'm good at the game of figuring out what people have. The rest I'm still working on.
All right, very good.
All right, it's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast@annieupmagazine.com. This week's comes from Lonnie, and I believe it's a situation. He actually calls it a fold equity situation.
I'm not good at those.
A lot of big words that I don't know if we know the answer to.
Yeah, so. I know what's going to happen here.
All right, first, a long-time listener, first-time contributor, always like that. It's late-ish in a $50 rebuy tournament with 164 entries, and $2,500 added. Wow, pretty nice tournament.
Nice.
40,000 starting units, 20-minute blinds, 27 players remaining, and the top 16 are paid. So getting close to money here. Blinds are 600, 1,200 with a 100 ante. And we are in the big blind with 42K and sitting around the top five in the tournament at this point. We're viewed as somewhat aggressive, raising pre-flop and betting out on most dry flops, pushing around mid and small stacks. And the villain, who he calls Grandma Banana.
I don't even pretend to know what that could possibly mean.
So much better than Player A, right?
Yeah.
All right, so Grandma Banana is under the gun plus one with 35K and is the other big stack at the table. She's playing loose passive, bets up her made hands, and seems capable of the occasional move. All right, so Grandma's got a little game.
All right.
Because I've seen her overplay her hand, cards on several occasions, but she's accumulated a good stack. So the villain limps from under the gun, plus one again, for 1,200. It folds to the small blind who completes. And we have the Jack of Hearts, Eight of Spades.
Okay, I'm just going to wrap the table. I'm sure, not going to get crazy. Yeah, it's kind of silly to do something stupid now.
All right, the pot's 4,500, and the flop is the Six of Clubs, Nine of Spades, Jack of Diamonds, and the small blind checks to us.
No reason not to bet here, right? I mean, I don't know what she's limping with. We could have kicker problems, but you might as well put a feeler bet out. I don't see any reason why if she limped with something small, like fives or something, you can get her to fold.
Right.
She limped with a suited ace, and this is rainbow. She might still fold. So I'm not real confident in her hand, but I got no problem betting like $3,000. I got 42. $3,000's about right into a 4,500 pot, so... I'll make some sort of bet just to either thin the field or feel it out or take it down now because it's not a powerful hand, but it's something that you could gradually build your stack a little more. So I'll make a little bet, $3,000.
Yeah, limp pot, I think you got to bet this, right? Either that or check raise, but check raise gets a lot more dangerous,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
Just bet out here and you know, get people out of the way. All right, so our hero bets 3,200.
That's right.
And the villain slowly makes a call.
When they slowly make calls, they go, I call. Is that how you slowly call? I don't know how you do that.
Oh, man. I hope they're not making a statement on Grandma's age, right?
That's true. That's not nice.
All right. So Grandma Banana slowly makes the call, small blind folds, and we're heads up now.
Okay.
Pot's 10,900, and the turn is the Jack of Spades. Our board now is Six of Clubs, Nine of Spades, Jack of Diamonds, Jack of Spades, and we have trips with a wonderfully terrible kicker.
Again, and first act. Again, I think we got a bet, but maybe a third of the pot this time, maybe 3,500. So,
yeah, I mean, her call doesn't really give us much information at all, right? I mean, she limped pre-flop, and now we're betting the flop. I mean, she could have two overs and just think she has a chance to catch up to us. She could have all kinds of stuff, right? So,
yeah, maybe a little more than 35. Maybe close to half the pot. I don't know.
Half the pot? No. Yeah, 5,500 something?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, our hero bets 4,500. And the villain thinks for a minute and calls.
Did she call
so
slow?
Slowly made a call, untimed, and now thinks for an exact minute and calls.
Oh, man, it's a big pot.
Yeah. He says, at this point, my read on the villain is fairly solid. King, queen, maybe spades, but unlikely at the pre-flop limp. I'm very confident I am out in front at this point. I'm not sure I'm solid on king, queen, but it does seem like she has two overs and just doesn't believe us. But at this point now with the jacks, I don't know.
Man, that's crazy. I don't know what to think. I mean, she could very well have jack 10, and she's suspicious too, which is why she's taking her time with these calls.
Right.
You know, or something like that, because people would limp with Jack 10. She might have an Ace Jack, but under the gun, Ace Jack, limp, that's kind of an odd.
Yeah, play. I think Ace Jack would probably raise us at some point here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so too. So,
but then you're only scared of the weird, you know, six or nine in the hand to have you boat it up. It doesn't seem like a Jack to me at this point.
Yeah, it's going to suck if she has Jack 10 in this 6-9 play or something. You know what I mean? A 6-9 play or whatever, then we're going to be pissed. But I got to bet, right? I mean, I mean, I had to bet there. I could not bet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, now she calls. Now we got to figure out what the hell was going to happen on the river. I mean, it almost seemed like to me, again, on the flop, it seemed like two overs. So it could be ace, king, king, queen, like he said. And then he's right now, he picked up a spade draw. So that only makes sense. That's the only overs hand that makes sense to continue is if you have the spades.
Yeah.
There's no real straight draw. Actually, no straight draw at all, right? So, yeah, so it has to be either spades or an overpair or a made hand. Those are three options, right?
And you really think she's going to call that initial bet, but just overs because she didn't believe us? It just seems weird that she seemed pretty passive. She can make a move, but...
I mean, calling station, that's usually what happens. You know, hey, I've got ace, king, or ace, queen, and all right, so you hit your jack, pretty boy. I'm going to call here and snap you off. I see that a lot, I think, unfortunately.
Did he call her that at a calling station? I just thought he said she was passive.
No, playing loose passive, so...
Yeah, I guess that could be construed as someone like that. All right, well, all right, let's see what happens, because we've already decided what we're going to do.
All right, so the pot's 19,900. The river is the king of hearts. So our final board is six of clubs, nine of spades, jack of diamonds, jack of spades, king of hearts. So none of the draws get there. And it's first for us.
Yeah, I'm going to bet third of the pot, whatever that is. I mean, I have three jacks. I'm not going to check three jacks. I just don't think I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I could check call, but she shoves. What do we do then? You know, I don't know if she would do that.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because, if we check here to induce a bet and we get a bet, then we have to be ready to call it, right?
Yeah. It's just
can't be checking because we're scared that we're beat here.
I just don't know if I want to call a shove either.
Right.
You know, because like you said, we're in the top five in chips. She's the one who could put us in the bottom two in chips, and we're around near the money bubble. Do you really want to make a huge mistake with a horrible kicker and an unraised pot, you know? So... I don't know. I think I'm going to put some sort of feeler bet out and see if she'll just be happy with what she's got and call. But if we put a bet and then she shoves, then I got to really think about it.
It's tough, too. And what about pocket kings? I mean, I hate to be the bet here, but that's...
Yeah, I don't think she...
I would think she would have raised pre-flop with that, so...
And then raise us at some point.
Yeah. All right, so our hero bets out 4,500.
Okay.
And the villain snap shoves her remaining 26K.
See, I don't see her limping with anything worse than us in this situation, like with any jack worse than ours.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So it has to be a better jack if she has a jack, right?
And it could be king jack.
It could be pocket sixes, pocket nines, which are bad for us as well.
Yeah. Oof.
Which are limping hands as well, too, for some people.
Can I really get away from this? I think, let's see, how much do we have left? We probably still have a ton left.
Yeah, we were the chip leader at the table, so.
Yeah. I could probably get away from this. I probably could. It feels a snap shove. I mean, what do we beat now? Just a bluff? Because any jack beats us that she wouldn't logically have. So we're actually literally trying to beat a bluff with this call. I'm folding.
Yeah, in our bet size, it makes it hard to think that we would, right? Because we kept the bet kind of similar there when the pot got big,
right.
Which is almost like we're trying to get you to call. So that's a bad moment to shove.
Yep.
I think. So, yeah, this is tough.
Yeah, I'm going to have to shove. I mean, I'm going to have to fold.
All right, her here says, at this point, I feel confident that she did not have a jack or a boat. I also don't think she thought I had a jack either and likely put me on middle small pair. My 4,500 river bet was intended to induce king-queen spaz shove. But did I get what I want? That's actually an interesting point that she might not believe us. That happens a lot.
Shove? What? You don't believe her? You call the 4,500 and you're glad you made 14 grand on this pot. You don't shove and take a chance. That's stupid.
All right, so our hero says, with please beat king queen screaming in my head, hero makes the call. Villain turns over, queen of hearts, 10 of clubs.
For a straight? Oh, jeez, I never put her on that. Because even, I guess the flop...
Well, yeah, she's open-ended on the flop. Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually.
In the turn, she calls again. You know, but now she's not even close to having the nut, so she's drawn to, like, the 15th best hand.
Right, exactly. Yep.
That's a really poor... Well, it's a poor limp under the gun plus one. That's a Scott
Absolutely.
Long favorite hand move. And then... And then after that, I mean, all right, I can get the call to flop, but then the jack comes again, he bets again. What does she think? All right, well, I'm going to have to Well, I wouldn't have put her on that. I guess I should have paid more attention to it. It was a situation, so I was waiting for like the situation. That was really the end of the week. Jeez, queen 10. Yeah. I mean, if I was playing the hand, I might have put her on that. Not put her on that, but saw a straight possible. But we were just so fixated on the three jacks and everything. I wasn't even putting the straight draw in my head. Jeez, that's terrible.
Tough one, Lonnie.
Sorry, Lonnie. All right, next week we'll catch up on all the all the news that's coming around the nation. So I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@anteupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@anteupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Took a while for you to figure that out.
I laughed right away.
Nope.
See, didn't take me a while to figure it out. I laughed right away. You just couldn't hear me. The recording is still recording, though, so I just got to edit out the gap. That's good. I'll have to do two files, but I'm laughing right away, and you're like, took you a while to figure it out. I'm like, no, it didn't. I'm laughing, and you're not saying anything. I'm like, what the? And then I realized we got disconnected, so I don't even know how to edit that now. If I should just leave it in there because it's so hilarious or not.